Don't panic. We will be recording this.
Okay.
Anything you say will maybe be used in evidence against you. So, yeah, welcome. And it's good to have your family here, settled and enjoying British life. We're going to run through these questions and see how we get on. I never stick to the script, so we'll see where we go.
Fine, yeah.
So let's begin then. What's your favourite all-time best ever film?
This is one question that's been giving me a lot of trouble, actually.
Really?
Yeah. I don't find it easy to do that, but I'll come up with one because, and this is from a long time ago, there's a film called A Private Function, which, does anyone remember
that? Anybody
know that? No, it was starring Michael Palin.
Oh, right.
And it was done, I think, was it in the 80s? And the reason it's my favourite movie is because it was filmed in my hometown.
So, Yorkshire?
In the actual town in Barnoldswick, where I come from. And basically they wanted to find... It was set in the 1940s, after World War II, to do with the coronation. It wasn't coronation. It must have been... There was some royal thing that was going on. They were having some party and they were feeding up a pig. But anyway, they wanted to find somewhere where it hadn't changed since World War II.
Right.
And they found my hometown. So, so if ever you do watch that and you see The Parade, that's my hometown. It wasn't all filmed in my hometown, but The Parade, which is where all the shops were, was our town centre.
I feel a need to rush off, actually.
Yeah. And it was actually... The other reason I like that movie, it was my type of comedy.
Oh, yeah.
Like the dark humour. So it's very funny.
Okay, well, we're getting a picture already.
Okay, right, yeah.
We're beginning to get an idea.
Yeah.
And a song, then, from the charts, which would be your best ever favourite?
Right, again, that's another difficult one. I could come up with my best ever band was U2.
Yeah, okay.
So, and the first time I went to see U2 was in 1981. It cost me £2 and I got the ticket at the door because it wasn't a sellout. And I got up to the front and shook hands with Bono. Now...
Are you making this up?
No. Now, within a year, of course, I had to go see them again. And this time I had to queue up from like 6 in the morning to get the tickets. And it was a complete sellout within a couple of hours. I did get tickets, but... So it was on the October tour for the in the early days. So, and last time I saw them, I think it was when Cindy was pregnant with Luke. And we went there and decided that, you know, when you need binoculars to see them, it's time to move on.
So, I'm going to push you on this. So, we've got the band, but nail down a song for us.
I could nail down an album. How about that?
Okay.
The first album, Boy, the B-side of that was like, to me, because, I mean, there's a lot of Bono has like a Christian faith.
Yeah.
And the side two of that record was like... A journey into faith. If you listen to that, so I thought that was very good. I would listen to that for ages.
Excellent.
If I'm going to go for a song which has been like in the charts, I would say One.
Sorry.
One.
One.
Yeah. One is a good song. Yes.
Do we have connections with that? Okay, they're smiling politely.
Right.
Okay, very good. Just on a bit of history then.
Yeah.
Understanding where you were when.
Yeah.
What year did you move to the States?
96.
Oh, okay. So fairly relatively recently, I guess.
Well, time is going on. Yeah. So it's 21 years ago now.
I think that's...
22 years ago this year, actually, now.
Making me feel old now. Yeah, well, that feels pretty recent.
Yeah.
Okay, so now let's push you a little bit further, find out a bit more about you. What would be your favourite children's TV programme from when you were a child and why? We can always ask your mum.
Okay, no, I do remember The Clangers.
Yeah.
And I was convinced I could understand their language.
Would you care to impersonate?
No, I lost that gift a long time ago. But I did make a clanger out of my mum's old stockings at one time.
Okay. I think it went something like this. Didn't it?
Yeah, that was it. Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So did you ever wonder about the soup dragon?
I don't know. I mean, the soup dragon was just... I didn't really... My deep thinking was not set when I was 5 years old, I don't think.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Didn't they make a comeback, the Clangers? Did you ever watch...
No, I didn't. I didn't know they'd made a comeback.
Okay. Was it a disappointment, the second one?
Okay, right, yeah. Okay.
Too much animation. Mm. Okay. Okay, so... and a favourite book... and what are you reading at the moment? So that's two questions in one.
Yeah,
what's your favourite book?
Well, of course, the obvious one is to say the Bible, and that actually covers both of them.
You don't have to. You don't have to be so spiritual.
No, well, I mean, I wouldn't say I was a great reader.
Okay.
And I'm not, like, into reading books all the time. Mm-hmm. And if I read a book, I'll fall asleep very quickly. And in fact, when I was coming, but we came back with the forwards in the last year a few times, and when I was suffering with jet lag, I would read James Herriot books in the middle of the night,
and that was
good.
I guess that's how it goes for a computer programmer, isn't it?
Yeah,
or an analyst. You know, it's screens and.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you ever, out of interest, do that really awful thing, which is to read the manual?
What's the manual?
Okay.
I write software.
You write the manual.
And I have done in the past, but my theory is if it needs a manual, the software has not been written well enough.
Okay. Baddies. Okay. So I'm not going to come to your house and find, manuals on the shelf.
You may find some on the shelf that were just there, but they're beyond the shelf.
They're crisp,
not touched.
Okay, I get the picture. How did you become a Christian?
So I grew up in a Christian home, and my mother was the church organist for 50 really? Years. So she's given up now; she's retired. Don't ask her again. My dad was the church treasurer, as a deacon at the church treasurer. So I grew up with in a Christian home, and during my teenage years, we got there weren't many young people in our church, and in all the church in the town there weren't that many young people. So what the leaders did at that time was to get them all together and have one big ecumenical youth group.
Yep.
I think it was like the Anglicans were all girls, the Methodists were all boys. There's me and my brother and one other guy in the Baptist church, and there were a few other, and we got these people together, and we had about 30 or 40 young people,
right.
Which then became a thriving youth group.
Yeah.
And for the next few years, that group really. Gelled together, and that was basically cemented my Christian faith, and that's when it really started to mean a lot to me personally.
So can you pin it down?
I can't give you an exact time and date or anything
so
like that.
It was a
gradual realization that, Jesus was Lord, that I wanted to follow him.
So that leads us on to the next natural question then is when were you baptized, and what were your memories of that time?
Now that I can lay down to a specific time, because obviously, so that was actually the 11th of November, 1979. And it was the evening service as well. So it would probably have been about 6:30 in the evening, something like that. Not too exact on the time, but
in Yorkshire?
Well, it depends what you think about the county boundaries. The town I grew up in was in Yorkshire. And then during the 70s, they did the rearrangement of the county boundaries and moved us into Lancashire.
Oh.
And which didn't go down well. And the sign saying welcome to Lancashire was removed every time they put it up. So they gave up with that in the end. And in fact, somebody in the old border on their private home had put a welcome to Yorkshire sign on it was on the old border. So
superb.
So, but one thing I do remember leading up to my baptism was I was at the Yorkshire Baptist Association had a youth camp. Mm. And we would go to Scarborough each year. And it was at that youth camp where I decided it was time to make the decision to be baptized. And what had happened is we were in a small group of teenagers, and they were going through a study, and people had been given verses to read, and this girl goes and reads the wrong verse.
Oh, no.
And the verse that she read said, "Why wait any longer? Go ahead and be baptized." And then she said, "Oh, no, that wasn't the right verse. This is the right verse." And then I realized, you know, because I was thinking about, should I be baptized or not? Well, is it the right time?
So God spoke to you.
And God spoke to me. So I was then baptized.
Excellent.
So,
I mean, it's amazing how, you know, you look for something and then God speaks.
Yes, yes,
yes. Yeah. Okay. So tell us what you do to relax.
Play Sudoku.
Pardon?
Sudoku.
Oh, Sudoku.
Yeah. So, and the killer Sudoku, or that's my favourite, is killer, or greater than Sudoku, or even Kakuru. All of these, like, Japanese-sounding ones.
Kakuru?
Yeah, yes.
Oh.
Does anyone know that, by the way? Okay, right, yeah, that's a good one.
Okay. On a screen or on paper?
Both. I mean, on a screen most of the time.
Yeah.
But then people sometimes get for me for like Christmas presents, Sudoku books, so I will go through those.
Yeah.
So.
And do you win?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, seems like a stupid...
Well, I mean, there's no winning and losing. You just do the puzzle until it's done. But there isn't a Sudoku puzzle where I've not been able to do it. Sometimes it might take a couple of hours, but...
I can feel the energy coming from his brain already. Fantastic. Yeah. Mm. Okay, bring us back to reality. And the food, your favourite?
Roast beef and Yorkshire pudding.
Oh, yes.
And I also like a roast lamb with mint sauce as well. So all the traditional roasts would be my favourite.
So the sheep are gradually disappearing in your fields.
they appeared this week right opposite our house. I don't know if anybody had noticed. Cindy posted something on Facebook
yes.
from our house. So they just appeared there this week at the sheep. So
now, I've got to ask you then. So if you're true Yorkshire. All right, you are true Yorkshire. You're going to confess, are you?
Well, my family, it was as far back as I could go, many generations. I've done a lot of ancestry research. In fact, I am descended from Robert the Bruce, but that's another story. But I think it's the 24th great-grandfather. But anyway, going back through my family tree, everyone was from Yorkshire.
Okay.
But of course, my great grandfather had moved to my hometown, which was on the border with Lancashire, because there was no. He was a rural policeman, and he'd moved there because there's no work for all the boys. Okay. So he moved there because the mills were there, and the mills were on like the Yorkshire Lancashire border in the Pennine Hills.
Okay.
So all of my ancestry is from Yorkshire. But it depended who your doctor was as to whether or not you were born in Yorkshire or Lancashire.
Oh, what goes on the certificate?
So what goes on the certificate? So my mother's doctor sent me to Colne in Lancashire to be born, whereas the other doctors sent them to Skipton to be born. So I was actually born in Lancashire, but very quickly came back to Yorkshire.
All right, so I'm going to test you then. All right. Mm. You say that your favourite food is Yorkshire, roast beef and Yorkshire pudding.
Yeah.
So how do you eat your Yorkshire pudding then?
Right, okay, so...
Now we're getting down to brass tacks, aren't we?
Well, yeah. I mean, I would eat my Yorkshire pudding. Do you want to know the traditional way, or do you want to know the way
I want to know how you eat it.
So I put gravy on it and
On its own?
Well, no, I mean, that would be the traditional way. In fact, I think my grandfather always used to tell a story about how he took someone there... And someone it would be his stepmother's house to eat a meal, and out came a plate with nothing but Yorkshire pudding
absolutely,
on it.
Absolutely, yeah.
And he thought, is this all we get?
Yes.
So, and then he'd eaten that, and then out came another plate with the roast beef and the potatoes and more Yorkshire pudding.
Yes.
And when he'd eaten that, out came another plate with the Yorkshire pudding for dessert.
Yeah.
So it just depended what you served it with.
Okay.
But you know, because I have an American wife, it's difficult for me to actually bring out Yorkshire pudding for all of the courses.
Do they have Yorkshire pudding in America?
Yeah, they do, yeah. Yeah, Cindy's mother would make Yorkshire pudding.
I was going to say,
yes, they do. They do.
Okay. Mm. Okay, you're stunned. I'm stunned by that. Mm,
yeah.
All right, so if you won the $1 million, how would you spend it, honestly?
Well, for the sake of my marriage, it would have to be to buy a second home in California, I think.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Although, to be honest, you can't really get anything for £1 million.
No. This is a slightly old. We've had this for 10 years.
Yes, house prices are such that, you couldn't get anything for that amount in where we came from. But anyway, we could get somewhere near
there. Yeah, that'll do nicely.
But we'd have to do that, yeah.
And finally, Andrew, what does your Christian faith mean to you day by day?
It's like, a daily walk with Jesus, where is like you feel as if he's with you, and the decisions that you make are things where, what would Jesus do? Mm. And just being together, you know, reading his word, and that's something which has bugged me about American politics recently, right. In the fact that the evangelical Christians have supported Donald Trump, who, to me, has no Christian faith whatsoever.
Right.
But has actually claimed to have a Christian faith, because you don't get elected president unless you claim to have a Christian faith.
Mm.
But the actions that he does. And it was just dropping. The actions which he does seem to be completely against what Jesus would do, and that's what I find so difficult, and that's why when I live my life, I would look and say, how would Jesus do this? And what I'm finding is not all evangelical Christians, but the ones that seem to be in leadership there seem to have sold their soul to the Republican Party and don't care what the leader does or what anybody does, and to me that's all wrong, and the first goal should be, what would Jesus do? They're not doing that, and it's going to cause big problems down the line, because they said, oh yeah, we would support Donald Trump because we'll get an extra place in the Supreme Court, and yes, they may have got that for a short time, but the backlash which is going to come against them, because to completely ignore what Jesus would do and instead go on what some person who has done things which is completely against Jesus and give him the full support, and yet the president who was before him, they basically condemned him. There was no hint of any extramarital affair or anything like that, and yet they condemned him, and yet with Donald Trump, oh, he's on his third marriage and he's had all these other women as well, and it doesn't matter, or forgiveness, and it seems so hypocritical to me. So,
well,
anyway,
I'm glad to hear you say that. Now my preaching is set free. Now I know where I stand. Well, Andrew, you've been great to listen to, and I think we're going to give you a round of applause for sharing today. Thank you very much. God bless you.